afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly officer's call and call to quarters for muster. Last week, after my broadcast, I had a signal from a trusted and constant listener. She's such a constant listener that she listens to me live every week. And because she lives in Maryland and not here on the West Coast, it is 3 hours later, and she always listens to me 3 hours later on the East Coast. And she pointed out that she did not indeed feel better about herself or about the world in which we live because the broadcast included so many things that were not conducive to that feeling. So today I have collected a wonderful group of stories which are in fulfillment of my mission, which is indeed for all of us to feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live when we come to the end of our half hour together. So that's what's going to happen today, and I'm going to start that off by delivering my greetings to all of the young people that will be out and about tonight, because tonight is Halloween, All Hallows Eve. Here on the magical isle of Vashon, we do a wonderful thing. The entire center of the island, the commercial area, is closed down. And children and their parents go from business to business collecting whatever good things that particular business is handing out. It should be noted that in a few months, the dentists on the island are going to have a considerable increase in their business. This keeps from having children walking along our rural highways, because most of the island is in fact rural. There are very few street lights, and the only ones that we have are actually in the center of town. It keeps them from running that risk. But even so, it is my wish, my hope, and my command that wherever you are, and if you have children out and about on the traditional activities of All Hallows Eve, that you will be especially watchful, that there will always be that lookout as far forward in the bows as is prudently possible, so that we don't have any tragic accidents in the darkness of the night. So on the binnacle list today, I have added a couple of people. One of Captain Joe's people who is a minion of Mr. Yuck. You all know that I serve on the board that supports Mr. Yuck in the Pacific Northwest Poison Center. And this young lady has become very ill. She had to spend a week in the hospital, which is nowadays more unusual, and is recovering. And for me, right after this broadcast, I have an appointment at the Vashon Pharmacy to get both my COVID shot, which I believe to be number 4, but I have to look at my shot card, and the inoculation for the respiratory virus. My second wish and hope and command, therefore, is that all hands who have not yet gotten the shots that their particular medical practitioner wants them to get, now is the time. As our Maori friends say in Maori, but I can't say it in Maori, I have to say it in English. Now is the hour. So here are the things that I have collected that are calculated to make all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. The first one is about my now not quite so new cat, Blossom. I'm almost certain that I reported here on that Ellery was almost certainly taken out by coyotes. I had thought that she would be able to manage any confrontation with them. We have several, or at least two, I think, packs of them on the island. And I was certain that she would be able to manage that, because Sailor does. Sailor goes out. I cannot confine him, just like me. He cannot be confined. But he is smart. He's fast. He can climb a tree. In fact, I've had to get him out of a tree once or twice. He goes up, but he wants some help coming down. So I thought that Ellery would be able to manage that. And it turned out that she was not, and almost certainly that's how she left us. So after a relatively short period of time, Sailor and I had a meeting, and we decided that we needed to bring somebody into the house, because we have to have somebody in the house always to take care of. He requires almost no care. He has not yet figured out how to open the cans of cat food. He hasn't figured out yet how to dump the dry food into the bowl. But other than that, he requires almost no care. He is, in fact, a great friend and a great partner. So he and I had this meeting, and we decided that we needed to bring somebody in, and we decided that we wanted to bring into the household, into Captain's crew, a cat that nobody else wanted. One that maybe was not too far from his or her last voyage and needed a place of safety and warmth and to be dry for the rest of their lives. And so I cast about, and I went to my friend Michelle, she of the chain of kitty vending machines that we have here on the island. And we located a cat of some years, a black cat, because nobody apparently wants to adopt a black cat. And that had been a resident of Central Valley Animal Rescue for a number of years. Clearly, she had been on offer for a long time, and nobody wanted her. She fulfilled all of my requirements. So out we drove to Central Valley, and we found this to be a very interesting place. And I may be repeating some of this, but anyway, that's what's happening. So we went out to Central Valley, and we met Blossom. We sort of met Blossom. She was a little bit reclusive, more than a little bit reclusive. It took a while for them to, first of all, find her, secondly, to capture her, and thirdly, to get her into the crate for us to bring home. We brought her home, and she immediately went under one of the beds and did not come out for several days, but she was eating, and she was using the litter box. She was certainly not the phantom pooper. And she remains today, 3 months later, still not reclusive. She is out and about all over the place. She and Sailor chase each other all over the house. She sleeps in the upstairs closet, which is the closet that is in the bedroom that Sailor and I use. And when I'm working at the desk in Mary's Crow's Nest, she is under that desk and by my feet. So she's, and she also will take treats. a friend gave me, a couple of friends actually gave me treats that you squeeze out of a tube, and I put them on my fingertip, and she will lick them off my fingers. But she won't let me touch her, won't let me pet her, won't let me stroke her, and her coat is an absolute mess and disgrace. She apparently was not schooled by her mom to groom herself, and Sailor so far has not taken on that task. He and Ellery groomed each other all the time. And I don't blame him, because I would think that her coat probably would not taste very good. So they've not, so he's not started to groom her, and she doesn't groom herself, and so she is an unseemanlike mess. So hopefully she will let me handle her soon. But the good part of all of this is that she is warm, dry, safe, secure. She likes both me and Sailor a lot. And I think that she probably was hit sometime, or maybe more than just sometime in her life. And that this is, and when I move my hand out to pet her, that she backs away right away. If anybody has any thoughts about how I might move this process along a little bit more quickly and in a little bit more of a semen-like fashion, I'd be happy to have your thoughts. CaptainJoe@CenturyTel.net. So that's the Blossom story, and then I'm going to repeat a story that on the broadcast 2 weeks ago that got lost. It vanished into the electronic depths, and we were not able to put it on the archive. But I remember some time ago that I had had a discussion with all of you about the production of lint in the clothes dryer. And I finally figured out how that happens, because the last time that I did a load of laundry and then did a dryer, I ended up with an extra sock. So the volume of lint that's in one sock equals the amount of lint that shows up on the filter in the dryer. If all of you have been wondering if your life has not been complete without knowing the answer to that particular question, the answer to it is that when you lose a sock, you've not actually lost it. You are actually getting it back in the lint, in the filter, in your clothes dryer. I know all of you have been waiting for that particular answer. It took me a while to figure it out. I'm reasonably well educated, I'm reasonably well trained, and I'm reasonably well experienced in many things in life, but I have not been able to figure that one out until I realized one missing sock equals one load of lint in the dryer. This last week, I had a visit by my Great Lakes family, members of my Great Lakes family. When I was the commander in Sault Ste. Marie, when I was the group commander in Sault Ste. Marie, I had a number of civilian employees, and one of my civilian employees was a lady, and she worked in the engineering department. I had a fairly large engineering department. I had a fairly large establishment. And she was one of my employees. Her son, Kevin, and Kevin's wife, Janet, are now Captain Joe's people, and they were with me for a week. Kevin is challenged with mobility. And so one of the things that they did was they rented a van called a Pacifica. I'd never had anything to do with a Pacifica built by Chrysler, Pacifica before. And they rented an electric scooter. Now, the interesting thing about this electric scooter is that it comes apart. You take it apart and you put it in the back of the Pacifica, and we took it all over and we did everything on the Seattle checklist. We took the locks tour. We went to the Pike Place Market. We assembled the scooter. We found where all of the elevators, all the lifts in the Pike Place Market. It's a real challenge to get around the market, especially when they're throwing fish around with an electric scooter. And most interesting of all, we took Kevin, Janet, the captain, and the electric scooter up to the top of the Space Needle. Now, I leave it to your imagination to figure out the frowns and scowls of your fellow passengers in the elevators when you go into the elevator with a fairly large piece of wheeled equipment, this electric scooter. But we went up to the top, and the people who run the Seattle Center, which is the remnants of the Seattle World's Fair of, I believe, around 1960, somewhere in there, and for which the Space Needle was built, have put in some little lift arrangements so that people who are who need either wheelchairs or this electric scooter are able to get around up at the top. The big and high-scale restaurant that used to be up there is no longer there. Now there are, on the part of the needle that rotates, there are a couple of lounges. But there are also places where you can just park and watch the city as it rotates under you. So it was a great trip. And I tell you the part about taking the scooter to the top of the Space Needle as an exemplar of if you feel that you are limited by things that you would really like to do, by the fact that you use a scooter or a wheelchair or a walker, check it out. And there's a lot more that you can do than what you may think you can do. And that is certainly true of so many things in life. So if you think you come here to Seattle and we make a connection, I will go with you up to the top of the Space Needle, even if you are using an electric scooter. Get one that you take apart. And if you take it apart, that's how you get it into the, you don't have to lift the whole thing. You lift it up piece by piece into the back of a Pacifica or whatever other vehicle that you have. My grandson Joel has come to me and asked if he could have his wedding in July at Captain's Quarters. And I am both honored that he wants to do this, enormously pleased that he wants to do this, and we're going to have, it is going to be a great, great event. I mentioned Joel here also because he is one of those young people who began his teenage years and then went through his teenage years threatening himself. And it is through his own hard work, through the support in particular of his mom, and through the intervention of some people in juvenile law enforcement who saw the worth and value in this young man. But it's really Joel that did it. And I am just delighted that we're going to be able to do this together in July. Another piece of good news came to me yesterday. The Coast Guard cutter Argus has been launched and christened. She is the lead ship of a class of ships that we are calling, that the Coast Guard is calling Offshore Patrol Cutters, OPC. The third in the series, they're being built at Eastern Shipbuilding in Panama City, Florida. And the third in the series is the next Coast Guard cutter, Ingham. All of you will recall that I was both XO in Vietnam and then captain in Ingham when we came back. I've just returned from a reunion of Ingham hands in Norfolk, and in 2 years we will all muster in Key West, which is where Ingham is today as a museum ship. She is one of two of that particular class that are still afloat. The other one is Taney in Baltimore Harbor, Inner Harbor. Argus has now been launched, christened, and she was christened by Captain Retired Beverly Kelly. Now, here's another great example of how we're all interconnected. When Captain Kelly was a lieutenant junior grade in 02, she was captain in the Coast Guard cutter Cape Newhagen. Cape Newhagen was my first command at sea. And when Beverly was her captain, she was the first woman to command any U.S. military vessel. She was, by that time, Cape Newhagen, hull number 95318, had been transferred to Hawaii, and that's where then Lieutenant Junior Grade, but titled Captain, was her captain. First woman to command a U.S. military vessel. That's a remarkable achievement. And the Coast Guard, in a very gracious move, asked her to be the sponsor for Argus. Now, Argus is carrying on a great name. Argus, the first Argus, was one of the first of the revenue cutters in 1791. The Coast Guard was formed up. Then it was called the Revenue Cutter Service, was formed up in 1790. Argus was commissioned in 1791 and served for a number of years as part of the Revenue Cutter Service fleet. So we're carrying on a name that goes all the way back to the beginning of my service and your service, because it belongs to all of us. And I've just refreshed my recollection of what these ships are going to look at. And first of all, look like. And first of all, I looked at the artist's conception, and then I looked at the photograph of Argus in the water. She even has the stripe on the side and her hull number, 915, already painted on. And she has a pre-commissioning detail, and they were all mustered out in front of her. And she's absolutely beautiful. And she looks very strong, and she looks very seaman-like. And best of all, for your captain, she has open bridge wings. I not only wish her well and Godspeed, but I know that she's going to be well-loved because she's got a wonderful sponsor in Captain Kelly. And she's carrying on a wonderful name that goes all the way back to the beginning of my service. The St. Lawrence Seaway has been reopened. There are about 130 ships that they are moving again. The company that is the contractor for the Seaway Corporation, which manages the Canadian side of the Seaway, they've come to an agreement. They've reopened the Seaway, and traffic has started to move again. Only good news today. Another piece of good news is for me personally is that my Stockholm family is coming to the United States for an extended sabbatical. On the 1st of January, Dr. and Professor Mark and his family will be coming to San Diego, moving to San Diego. He is going to be working with the University of California, San Diego. They have a condominium lined up in which they're going to live. and I will have them on this side of the Atlantic Ocean at least until July and hopefully longer. Mark's wife, Karen, has just been appointed as the director of her particular agency in the Swedish government, in His Majesty's Swedish government. And so she is going to be on a leave of absence while Dr. and Professor Mark is here. And so having them at San Diego makes it even just a little bit easier to get to them than when they're in Stockholm. I'm going down in January and spend a little bit of time with them. Not more time than exceeds my welcome. But San Diego is a special town for me because one of my children was born there, and in particular because that was where I had my first command at sea. In fact, it was the Coast Guard cutter Cape Nieuwegen. Then she was known just by her hull number, 95318. So, adding to all of that, the next week, a week from today, is Election Day. Wherever you are, if you are presented with a ballot, it is my wish and my hope and my desire and my command that you rescue that ballot from behind the radiator where it fell down and you fill it out. If it's one of the places where you can go to a polling place, alas, we have no more polling places here in the state of Washington. And so the ballot gets filled in with a black, not blue, pen. You fill in these little bubbles on the ballot, and then you mail it in. It has barcodes so that you can track it. I have every single bit of faith and confidence that my ballot is going to be counted, that it is not going to get lost, that nothing is going to happen to it except it's going to reflect my wishes as to who I want in each one of the positions. And there are a number of them that are open here on the island. Captain O'Brien is running for a place as a commissioner on the airport commission here on the island. He's running unopposed, so I suppose I have to vote for him. Whatever the answer is on that, and wherever you are, if it is election time, oh my goodness, a gal just walked by wearing a Halloween costume, and it was ram's horns on her head. Yes. Well, it's already started. So, dear ones, once again, I've, and far too quickly, come to the end of our time together. As always, I am on station and watching properly, and as always, we never say goodbye. We say, until we meet again. And a 13th birthday greetings go out to my granddaughter, Simonzi. By the way, I missed that one last week, so I'm making it up this week. And she now begins the teenage years. Her mother came to me when Mary R. and I got together. Her mother came to me when she was just turning 13. We did high school together. We did driver's ed together. We did a lot of other things together. And what came out of that was one of the best friends, as well as a daughter, that anyone could ever have. Having said all of that, it is now time for me to say, as Simonzi and I always say, whenever we part, we never say goodbye. We say, until we meet again. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair. We'll meet again here next week. And on that, as always, all of you remain in the palm of my hand.